From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is, wait, don't tell me, the NPR News Quiz. Look out, Tokyo, here comes Godzilla. I'm Bill Curtis, and here's your host at the Orpheum Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much. We have a great show for you today, or as they like to say here in Minnesota, a not too bad show. Later on, we're going to be joined by former Minnesota Vikings Hall of Fame tackle turned state Supreme Court Justice Alan Page. He'll be out here. But first, some news. Ever since this show began, almost 20 years ago, we have had only one prize, the voice of Carl Castle in your voicemail. In fact, we've been doing this so long, when we began, there was no voicemail, and Carl just had to go to people's homes and just wait for the phone to ring. And now, for the first time, we are making a change. Starting this week, all of our winners on our show will get to choose any voice from the show they would like. This is true. You can still get Carl, or maybe the authoritative bass of Bill Curtis. The homey twang of Tom Baudet, the sultry contralto of Roxanne Roberts. Or if none of them are available, me. So if you want to be the first person to have Paula Poundstone answering their phone, well, that is... that is other than Paula. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ty Owen. I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, how are things in Columbus, Ty?
Things are always wonderful in Columbus.
That's what I've heard.
That's not true.
Well, welcome to the show, Ty. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the host of the podcast Fake the Nation and star of the film Third Street Blackout, now available on Amazon, iTunes, and all those digital places. It's Nagin Farsad.
Hello.
Next, it's a comedian appearing at the Flyover Comedy Festival in St. Louis, Missouri, November 9th through 11th. It's Adam Burke.
Hello. Hi.
And finally, a feature writer for the style section of the Washington Post, Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Ty.
Hey, Roxanne.
So, Ty, you're going to play Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, which is now and forevermore, as I said, the voice of anybody you like, or anybody we know, on your voicemail. All of your quotes this week, Ty, are, by pure coincidence, lies. The first lie is from the President of the United States.
If you look at President Obama and other presidents, most of them didn't make calls. A lot of them didn't make calls.
All right, so what was President Trump lying about?
Is it to a soldier?
Yes. Well, I'm going to give it to you. It was to the families of soldiers, but let's be fair, Trump is telling the truth. He's not really lying. Many presidents never made those condolence calls. Grant never did it. James K. Polk, not once. When the president was asked why he had not said anything about four soldiers killed in action in Niger, he tried to weasel out of it by making up something mean about Obama. He knew he was busted, and his brain went right to that panicked, guilty place your dog does when you find him drinking from the toilet. It's like, panic, quick, what do? I know, say Obama was worse than me. It's just like when the dog says, yeah, I'm drinking from the toilet, but the cat murdered 8 people.
That is the world we live in now, where something is like the worst thing that could happen to a family, and we've somehow figured out how to make it worse. It's like a really horrendous magic trick. Like, how many more diseased rabbits can you pull out of that? Oh, this one doesn't even have a face. How do you do it?
Yeah. Well, I got bad news and even worse news.
Yeah, exactly.
But as the lies continue to pile and pile and pile, I feel like that the Trump administration should think of like a new policy, which is that like none of them ever speak ever again.
I do think this is, I think that people are playing into, he's infecting people with his nonsense, right?
Right.
Because people are trying to catch him in the act of lying.
Right.
Like he's going to feel any shame about, he lives in a world where truth and falsehood don't exist. He doesn't, you know what I mean? He doesn't care. He's like, yeah, I'm lying. And so he does not care. It's like you're trying to play a game of epistemological laser tag with a guy who doesn't know or care what any of those words mean.
Right.
And you're trying to shoot him with your truth gun. You're like, ah, I got you. And it's like, nah, I don't care. I saw smoke and lights. I thought it was a strip club. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, this is a very elaborate metaphor, but I see where you're going. Well, Ty, your next lie is not from the president.
Oh,
it
thank
is from
God.
Someone forced to stand next to him at a press conference this week.
We have the same agenda. We've been friends and acquaintances for a long time. We talk frequently.
Who told reporters that he gets along really well with the president despite the president's constant habit of insulting him?
Is that Mitch McConnell?
It is, Ty. It was Mitch McConnell. One bright spot in these dark and trying times, at least we get to watch Mitch McConnell suffer too. All his life, he has dreamed of presiding over a Republican Senate with a Republican House and a Republican president so he could make his wishes all come true, like cutting taxes for the rich and finally getting some lips. But it turns out God has a sense of humor because the Republican president he got is Donald Trump. It's like wishing and wishing for a pet you can love and call your own, and God gives you a tapeworm.
The good thing for Mitch McConnell is he's physically impossible. It's physically impossible for him to look pleased. you know what I mean? So it's just he was clearly uncomfortable, but everyone just thought, well, that's just Mitch being Mitch.
Yeah.
It's just his face.
He has Mitch face.
He's got Mitch.
He has resting Mitch face.
Not only did he have to go out and like pretend that he's getting along with the president, while he's doing this, Steve Bannon, a wet garbage bag of donated clothes to Goodwill that somehow achieved life, is running around the country declaring open war on McConnell, recruiting people to run against him and put him out of office. And the president was asked about that. And he, right in front of McConnell, and he said, well, Steve Bannon, if you don't know, he's a creature of Moyle created from all the foreskins he had collected in his career. Steve Bannon's a good friend of mine, said the president. This was so upsetting to McConnell, in order to calm himself, he had to go home and take health care away from four children.
I want to see Steve and Mitch in a sitcom together. Where they just
Steve
just
and
roommates.
Mitch. Yeah.
Steve would be wearing like lots of shirts on at the same time.
Yeah, it'd be funny. Da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. He's a neat freak. He's a Nazi. We've got one more lie for you, and it is not from Steve Bannon, a week-old scoop of cottage cheese with surprisingly nice hair. Here it is.
There probably isn't a more magical ingredient on earth than the sweet, dark brown flavoring used for more than 3,000 years.
That was from the Washington Post, one of many outlets that have been tricked into lying about the health benefits of what?
Is it chocolate?
It is chocolate, yes.
All right.
We have all been lied to. According to an expose by Vox, the Mars Candy Company has, since the 1980s, funded dozens and dozens of studies that show that chocolate is good for you. They say it's good for your heart and your memory. People are scientifically more attractive with chocolate smeared on their faces. The only study that varied from straight praise of chocolate was one from the Trump administration's FDA, which said that only white chocolate was any good. Science, people. No, it is true. There are healthy things in chocolate. For example, something called flavonoids, right? So they put these press releases out saying chocolate provides healthy flavonoids, which is true. But there's a lot more of them in much healthier fruits and vegetables. So for example, to get enough flavonoids to do you any good, you'd have to eat 2.5 pounds of milk chocolate every day. To which America says, okay, we can cut back if we have to. Bill, how did Ty do on our quiz?
He did great. Ty wins.
Congratulations, Ty.
All right.
Thank you so much for playing, Ty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.